The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performance. And on today's program, I'll be talking later with the person who adapted a rather famous story, particularly if you are a public radio fan, on the news and information side of things, which is to say probably you're a fan of the show that we broadcast here on our companion station AM 580, called This American Life, where David Sedaris has read his story, the Santaland Diaries, probably just about every year since he wrote it. And Joe Mantello adapted that story for the stage. It's going to be put on at the Little Theater in Sullivan this weekend, tonight through Sunday only, just three performances. And we'll have a preview of that later on in the show. First up, though, it's one of the three original members of the Manhattan Transfer who are going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts to kick off their Christmas tour tonight at 7:30. Alan Paul, one of the two male originals. And we'll actually be talking about a little bit about how they incorporate a new voice, although a temporary voice. More on that a little later. But first, let's hear some of their, one of their best-known tunes, Manhattan Transfer, here on Live and Local.
I love coffee, I love tea, I love the Java's ring. Coffee and tea and the Java and me.
Java Jive, the Manhattan Transfer, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They're going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts tonight at 7:30, kicking off their Christmas tour. And I was able to speak with one of their founding members, Alan Paul, who at the time that Tim Hauser and then Laurel Massey and Janice Siegel, who were the other three originals, found him. He was co-starring in the original production of Grease on Broadway. And he joined the group, and the rest is virtually history. Well, the rest is just history, although the final group wasn't formed until a few years later when Laurel Massey was replaced by Cheryl Benteen. And perhaps ironically, Cheryl Benteen is ill for this particular tour, and she's being replaced by somebody named, you'll find out who she's named by, because I had it when I talked with Alan Paul the other day, yesterday. We chatted about it, and I was interested to know how challenging it was, and then what's the process for incorporating somebody new into a group that is so tight vocally and personally. You know, relationships have grown over all those years. And he informed me that in the entire history of the group, this is the first time they've ever had to do it, which is sort of astounding on its own. But otherwise, he talked a little bit about what was that process like. What will that process be like?
The options were that we cancel our tour, or we try and approach it this way, and we decided to do it this way. And I think that it's Bloomington is actually the first date. It's going to be very interesting because we have no time to rehearse. And my partner, Janice Siegel, has been working in New York with this woman who's you know, subbing in for Cheryl. And, you know, they did a lot of extensive rehearsing. And then it's just a matter of putting it together. You know, I think what's important is that you know, the singer, whoever that might be, has the experience of vocal group singing, because it's very hard to teach that to someone that, let's say, is just a soloist who doesn't understand about blending the voice and about, the subtleties of vocal group singing. So the woman that's coming in does have that experience and is familiar with the group, is familiar with a lot of our stuff. So it should work out fine. It should be okay.
Margaret Dorn is her name. How did you find her?
Yes. Margaret is an associate. She's a friend. Janice actually brought her in. She has a group called the Signatures, and they're an octet, but she has a lot of experience with vocal group singing and as a soloist herself. She's a wonderful musician, and so it came through Janice, and it should be. I'm looking forward to singing with her.
The Manhattan Transfer, I tend to think of, and feel free to correct this impression if it's a limited one, as specializing in some music that comes from an older time. I mean, there are certainly exceptions in your recording history and so on, but some of the classics, such as we played at the opening, Java Jive, do look back a little bit. What's been, in the long history of the group, how much have you relied on that versus trying to bring a more contemporary sound, maybe?
Well, you know, in our history, really the material and the style of our singing has evolved. It's really gone through a lot of different evolutions. Certainly in our beginning, we were, I would say, very nostalgic in a sense, not only with the material that we were doing, but also with the clothes, with the visual presentation that we were doing was very, very much from like the 1930s and 40s. But we kind of moved beyond that. I think with each album, actually, that we made, we were very fortunate because we were signed to Atlantic Records by Ahmet Ergin, who was the founder of Atlantic. And consequently, he gave us a lot of freedom of expression. He really trusted our creativity and our intuition to the point that we were able to really try and, different styles of music, So we went from, kind of more of the nostalgic stuff to doing like the Extensions album that was much more modern. It had like Birdland on it and Twilight Zone, to Brazilian album, and then to Vocalese, which was a complete jazz album. So we went from being like, nostalgia to kind of pop artists with like Twilight Zone and Boy from New York City to jazz vocalists. And probably now we're most noted for that, for the style of singing vocalese, which is taking like originally instrumental pieces and vocalizing it, writing lyrics to it. John Hendricks, who was with the group Lambert Hendricks and Ross, has really been a mentor for us, and he worked on that album and has done a lot of lyrics for us. So that's kind of, I think depending on when people get on the train, on the Manhattan Transfer train, depends on what they're exposed to, like the people that were there in the very, very beginning when we, were playing clubs in New York would remember the more nostalgic stuff. But people that kind of got on the train in the 80s would remember us as a pop group.
Well, I definitely think of you more in the jazz style. So I guess that means I came in later.
I guess so. Do 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 do
That was Manhattan Transfer's adaptation of Another Night in Tunisia from their disc called Vocalese, to which Alan Paul referred in our conversation just a bit ago. Alan Paul, one of the four original members of the Manhattan Transfer. They're going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts kicking off their Christmas show tonight at 7:30. And I asked him, I just talked to him 2 days ago, in which we had talked about various things, including this. Is the show that you're doing at the Bloomington, is that going to be just the four of you, or are you bringing the full orchestra?
No, it's going to be with our quartet. So we're going to be doing a bunch of material from our Christmas album, but we're going to do it with our quartet.
So an a cappella Christmas.
Well...
Or not quite. When you say quartet, you mean your instrumental quartet.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yes, so it'll be the group with our regular band. Yaron Grishovsky on piano, Steve Haas on the drums, Gary Wicks on the bass, and Adam Holly on the guitar.
What do you, since you've been in the, I was actually reading through your bio here, and it... has lots of interesting stories about how you got into music and then some of your early singing experiences and some very fun ones, and then getting into the Manhattan Transfer, and then it's almost over, which suggests that the Manhattan Transfer has been your musical life for all these years. Or is there more to it than that since you've joined the Transfer?
Well, it's been, since I joined the Transfer, it's been the primary... thing, a musical thing that I've done. I mean, I do things on the side. I've, you know, done a solo album, working on a second one. I produce other artists. I write. Early on, I was an actor and, performed on Broadway in the original cast of Grease and the original cast of Oliver when I was a kid. But the demands of being in the group and also, having a family, there's only 365 days in the year. So it's a matter of prioritizing time.
And I guess I was partly curious whether that's also true for the other three members of if the transfer allows for side projects, encourages side projects.
Well, what we, absolutely. I mean, what we've done is we try to allocate. You know, we do our bookings basically like a year and a half in advance. So we try to accommodate everybody's needs. So if somebody has things, that they, for solo projects and stuff like that, then we put it in our calendar and say, okay, we're not available at this particular time, and we try to work around that as much as we can, with the understanding that there are, certain tours that we do. We tour Europe a lot. We usually tour in the summer. We just came back from Europe. We did a tour also in the fall. We tour Asia. So there are certain times of the year when that usually happens. So we try to accommodate that, and work around those particular tours. So yes, and my partners have been active. Janice has done a bunch of albums and does gigging on her own. And Cheryl as well has done a bunch of albums. Tim has an album out. I think he's starting to work on a second one too. So yeah, we try to accommodate that.
And it's Alan Paul with Tim Hauser and Janice Siegel, and normally would be with Cheryl Benteen, but due to some emergency surgery, she's going to be replaced on this Christmas tour by Margaret Dorn, and kicking off the tour right here in our area tonight at 7:30, Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, the Manhattan Transfer, and their quartet appreciate you very much taking the time to talk with us here on Live and Local.
Sure. My pleasure. Take care.
Here's a Manhattan transfer. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Have yourself a merry little Christmas, the Manhattan Transfer. I imagine they'll probably be doing that tune on their Christmas tour, which actually, the first stop for the tour is in Bloomington tonight at 7:30. And as Alan Paul, my guest on this portion of Live and Local, described it, it could be a bit of an adventure since they're incorporating a substitute vocalist for the ailing Cheryl Benteen. Margaret Dorn will join them. Otherwise, the other three folks are the three original members of the Manhattan Transfer, including Alan Paul. That show starts at 7:30. For more information, you can go to their website, which is artsblooming.org, and check out their other shows as well. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program is made possible with support from the Illinois State University School of Music, presenting Music for the Holidays this Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m., and Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Center for the Performing Arts. Ring in the holidays with the Illinois State University Symphony Orchestra and choirs and a visitor from the North Pole. And to clarify, that's the ISU Center for the Performing Arts, not to be confused with the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Two entirely separate buildings.
Do you have a vehicle that's been good to you? Maybe you'd like it to make one more positive contribution. Donate it to WILL. It's easy to do. And if you make the donation before December 31st, you will get the allowable tax deduction this year. For more information, call 1-866-789-8627.
My next guests on Live and Local are connected with the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. John Stevens is the executive director there. And Jay Randall is the actor who is doing a one-man show, which is an adaptation by Joe Mantello of the David Sedaris story called The Santaland Diaries. And it's happening a number of times in our area at the Little Theater itself this weekend, including tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30. There's a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. And then they're taking it on a bit of a tour, including in Urbana at the Canopy Club next Tuesday evening and in Springfield next weekend at the Hoagland Center for the Arts. If you're a regular listener to This American Life here on our companion station AM 580, you've probably heard this before as read by David Sedaris in his rather inimitable way. I love the whole story, so I can only imagine that in a live performance where you get to see somebody doing something as well as instead of simply hearing the reading of it, it's got to be a lot of fun. So, John and Jay, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me. Yes.
So, first, for John, this is a repeat for the Little Theater.
Absolutely. We had such good luck with it last year, and it was something so outside of the box for us. Really, we'd never done anything like this and weren't really sure how people would react to it, and even if they would know David Sedaris. But we had people coming out of the woodwork who had never been to the Little Theater before, knowing that we were doing the Sedaris piece. They loved his stuff so much. And then some of our regulars who had never heard of David Sedaris coming, going, I don't know what this is, but I want to check it out. And just loved the piece. And Jay is so much fun doing the show, because when you think of an elf for Christmas, you think of someone short and, you know, chubby and whatever, jolly. And Jay is the exact opposite of that. He's, what, 6'5", and skinny and tall, and just does this great rendition of the show.
Well, when you say that you hadn't done anything like this before, Meaning what? You hadn't done one person show before.
We hadn't done a Christmas one weekend one person show ever. That didn't really have any music to it other than some underscoring. We hadn't done anything that was a little more arty, because David Sedaris is very much outside of most of our the people that come to the little theater's realm of knowledge. So it was a little racy as well. So there's some language to the show that we weren't sure that our audience would deal with, and they had no problem with it. They got a huge laugh out of the show and really enjoyed themselves.
Well, and you refer to elves. This has to do with a slacker, as you describe it in your publicity material, who takes a job as Crumpet, a Macy's Christmas elf. And he's supposed to be 33 years old here, a 33-year-old slacker. You don't have to, I don't know how old you are, Jay, but you could pass probably.
I'm actually 34.
Oh, you really?
Yeah,
well, then,
but
very
last
close.
Year when I performed it, I was 33.
Well, so. That was just about perfect.
Exactly.
So how had you heard the story before you were asked to do it?
Oh, yeah. I actually, I'm a huge Sedaris fan, and I've read everything he's ever done and listened to him, and John and I have a mutual friend and sort of who directed it last year and asked me what I would be interested in doing at the Little Theater. And I brought the piece and said, I've always wanted to do this piece. So
this was kind of your idea.
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
I'll let you have that one.
So.
Well, directors can't take credit for everything.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the thing you take credit for is saying yes to Jay saying this was a great idea. And apparently it was a hit for
I
you.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I was overwhelmed at how receptive the audiences were to it. But I think it is also a testament to the material, because I feel like I could just sit on stage and read it and people would have a good time because he's so brilliant.
Which David Sedaris does.
Exactly.
You know, he does his shows where he charges a great deal of money and he basically just reads out of his book.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen him do anything in person, although I've seen him on television and, of course, heard on radio many times and read several of the books. And I would think that it might be a little bit of a challenge to do one of his pieces, because anybody who's heard him knows his quite inimitable voice.
Yes.
Which, since it is inimitable, I'm not going to try to imitate it. Do you?
I don't. I bought him his version of it, the CD, for my mom for Christmas a year before I came to do this. And so when I told her I was doing it, she was very excited. And she was like, oh, I'll let you borrow the CD. And I thought, no, I don't ever want to hear him do it, because I needed to approach it in a way that it was going to be my material and my voice and my show. And it helps because there's blocking and moving all around. And I change into the elf costume on stage. And there's lots of theater magic that happens. So, you know, that helps too. But yeah, I definitely wanted to make it my own, and I feel like I did a little bit.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, for those who haven't a clue what we're talking about, what are the Santaland Diaries? Who is David Sedaris? I've never heard this before. What are you talking about? Why don't you, I think you have a little bit of the opening just to set things up for us.
Sure. So this is the section right after I have changed into the elf costume on stage, and this is his first day. When it's first open. Today was the official opening day of Santaland. On any given day, you can be an entrance elf, a water cooler elf, a bridge elf, train elf, maze elf, island elf, magic window elf, emergency exit elf, counter elf, a magic tree elf, pointer elf, Santa elf, photo elf, usher elf, cash register elf, runner elf, or exit elf. I worked as a magic window elf. I was at the magic window for about 15 minutes before a man approached me and said, "Yo, you look so freaking stupid." I have to admit, he had a point. But still, I wanted to say that at least I get paid to look stupid, that he gives it away for free. But I can't say things like that because I'm supposed to be merry. So instead, I said, "Thank you." Thank you, as if I'd misunderstood him and thought he said, "You look terrific. Thank you." He was a brawny, wise guy, wearing a vinyl jacket and carrying a bag from Radio Shack. I should have said real loud, "Sorry, man, I don't date other guys." The magic window is really boring. I'm supposed to stand around and say, "Step on the magic star and look through the window and you can see Santa." I said that for a while, and then I started to say, "Step on the magic star and look through the window and you can see Cher." And people got excited. Some of the people on the other line, the line to sit on Santa's lap, went wild and broke through the gates to stand on my star. Then they got angry when they looked through the window and saw Santa instead of Cher. What did they honestly expect? Is Cher so hard up for money that she'd agree to stand behind a two-way mirror at Macy's? Some of the angry people must have said something to management because I was taken off the magic star and sent to Elf Island, which is really boring, as all you do is stand around and act merry.
Do you... You know, I do have to admit that I started to hear David Sedaris after a while, since I have heard that piece so many times. But it's when they've run that on, and I assume this is the same on the CD that you have of him on. What is the name of the show? I've said three times now, and I can't remember.
This American Life.
Thank you very much. They have lots of music that's behind, sort of, as This American Life always does. And I was almost starting to hear some of that without having anything specific. Have you done one-man shows before?
No, this was the first time, and I was terrified. I sort of, like I said, I had the idea to do it and sort of pushed for it. And then I was like, oh, God, now I have to learn it all.
I thought that there would be, like, it's a one-man show. There's nothing we have to do. It's really a really huge ordeal to put this together.
It really is a lot.
And then
taking
it out on the road, there's a lot of
trials
and tribulations that we have to go through to make that happen.
Well, for example?
There's a huge projection element to the show. We have a giant frame on stage that we project slides of some of the things that he's talking about, which really helps tell the story so much more visual.
And so what, like pictures of an actual Macy's
Santa
Christmas
land? Exactly. Of different people sitting on Santa's lap, kids screaming, you know, all of those fun things that you might see, people dressed up as other elements. There's a whole countdown series of, you know, the last 10 days of Christmas or whatever at the end of the show.
And for yourself, you know, when you said, "Oh, I have to learn all this," but there's a lot more than just learning it. There's being by yourself for what, an hour and a half or so.
It's about an hour.
An hour.
Yeah, and even when, you know, yesterday we were actually running it at the theater, and just for the technical aspects, so I was sort of marking through it without really committing full out. And even then, at the end of it, I'm just spent. I mean, it's completely exhausting because it's 35 pages of me talking. And then you add all of the blocking, the elements, all of that stuff, and it's a big show for sure. So,
I mean, for somebody such as myself who is a complete non-actor, I can't imagine it at all. But I'm also trying to imagine that if I were an actor, I think I would still be petrified. That, I mean, when you're in a play and you're with other people, you get to react to those people. And there's, you know, lots of other things on stage that you can react to. But when you're by yourself, you have to react to yourself or to your own mind or to things you're imagining happening or things that you want the audience to imagine maybe happening.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. You just have to have a really huge imagination and really sort of paint the picture for the audience of these crazy parents or the person interviewing me or, you know.
And you do such a good job of telling that story with the different voices. I mean, his body language really, he creates these about 20 other characters in the show that is so
There's
much fun.
There's actually 50 other characters.
Oh my gosh.
No kidding.
It's more than you would imagine. So each one has a different voice. Each one has a different way that they stand. You know, the things that he does with his body is great for them.
But you have to be aided substantially by the fact that this is an adaptation of a piece that was already read from first person.
Oh, sure, certainly. I mean, again, I think the material stands up so well on its own because it's so, so brilliant. I honestly think I could just sit on stage and read it and people would have a good time. But, you know, we've created this huge world and, you know, show with these projections and
big Christmas trees and
Christmas trees
presents and,
you know, there's underscoring, there's music that sort of takes me from one section to the next, which is really actually super helpful as an actor because I can sort of have a moment to hear the music and say, okay, now I'm going to take myself to this place and start from this point and sort of move from there. So,
and he kind of creates a set with the few things that are there. There's these five giant wooden presents that are painted. And he moves them around the stage, and they create a Santa throne. They create the lunch table. They create just different stations of the Santa land as well. And he uses them to mark those places.
Have you been to a Macy's Santa land yourself?
You know what? I haven't. And that's very bad, bad, bad of me as an actor. But I just...
I think you should go and wear your costume.
I should. As much as I know about it now from doing this, I'm like, I don't want to go. It's going to take like 2 hours to get through there. So, but I have a goddaughter in New York where I live, and she's three. So when I get back to New York, I think I return on the 12th. I'm going
I'm
with
her, to
her parents. We're going to take her to Santa Land.
Oh, so that should send pictures.
I will. That should be a treat.
And you're going to be so jaded before you even get
right.
there. You have another longer segment, I think, that'll give listeners an even better idea maybe of what we're talking about, how
sure.
horrible this may
sure.
be, or at least how horrible Crumpet thought it was.
So this is when he is on break and he's eating lunch with the other elves and he sort of talks about what he sees. Yesterday... I sat next to an elf from Flushing, Queens, named Ginger Snap. She's a squat, plump woman whose knickers fit her like tights. Complementing the overall look is a thick pair of oversized glasses and a swarm of plastic barrettes she uses to clamp down her hair. I'd noticed Ginger Snap back in training and am surprised she lasted this long. No one can say she's not enthusiastic, any more spirit than they'd have to medicate her. Her problem is that, well, she's stupid. During training, she had her hand up every 2 minutes asking questions so obvious, I wonder how she ever managed to find the eighth floor. We'd be running overtime, ready to go home, and she'd put her hand in the air and say, "Can we wear our costumes home?" Who would want to? What possible pleasure could it give you to board the subway dressed as a gnome? The management had already laid down the law about her uniforms. Her question was pointless. It was like asking, "Can we force children onto Santa's lap at knife point?" No. The answer's no. Now, if you could just sit down and shut up. At the end of our training, I watched her approach a manager asking if she could work as an elf year-round. I've met elves from all walks of life. Most of them are show business people, actors, or dancers. But a surprising number of them held real jobs at advertising agencies and brokerage firms before the recession hit. Bless their hearts, these people never imagined that there was a velvet costume in their future. They're the really bitter elves. Today I had lunch next to someone I've codenamed Flaky. She's recently moved here from Kansas City, Missouri, and isn't very happy to be working for Santa. Every time I come upon her, I overhear her telling someone, "I'd rather be a starving artist in New York City than artistically starving in Kansas City, Missouri." Ugh, it makes me wince. She even says this to children. "I'm not a real elf. I'm an artist." Today, Flaky showed me some slides of her work. Turns out, during her off hours, she keeps busy gluing human hair to radios and telephone receivers. Everything she touches winds up looking like a Persian cat. "Oh," I said, "what a cute idea." This was the wrong thing to say. She strenuously objected to the word cute, and then she tried selling me a blonde clock radio, telling me she'd be willing to let it go for $300. I said, aside from the fact that I don't have $300, who really wants to part the bangs of their alarm clock in order to read the time? So far, my least favorite elf is a man from Florida, whom I call the Walrus. The walrus has a handlebar mustache, no chin, and a neck the size of my waist. In the dressing room, he admits to being a little bit of a ladies' man. The walrus behaves as though Santa Land were a singles bar. It's embarrassing to work with him. We'll be together at the magic window where he'll pull women aside, put his arm around their shoulder, and say, "I know you're not going to ask Santa for good looks. You already got those, pretty lady." In his mind, the women are charmed, dizzy with attention. I pull him aside and say, "That was a mother you just said that to, a married woman with 3 children. He says, "Hey, man, I didn't see a ring." Then he turns to the next available woman and whistles, "Santa's married, but I'm not."
So the other elves are bitter?
Who knew?
Jay Randall with a scene from The Santa Land Diaries written by David Sedaris. And you can see it adapted for the stage and starring Jay and Jay alone at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan this weekend, tonight through Sunday. Or if you can't get down to Sullivan, or if you want to see it again, you can come to Urbana at the Canopy Club on Tuesday night and see it there. About 7:45 is the technical start to the show. And go see Jay do the show in Springfield for 3 performances next weekend, the 9th through the 11th. And when we're done here, I'll give you all those email address, or rather websites, if you want to check out not only this show, but also other things that are going on, because all these venues, of course, have many other things going on at any given time. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I really love listening to the Santa Land Diaries, and so I'm would be more than happy if you would do another little scene for us.
Sure. So this is when he is talking about all of the celebrities that he has seen in Santa Land, and he gets really excited. Crumpets, or David Sedaris, or as I play it, Jay's dream is to be on One Life to Live. So this is a section about that. Anyway, what's really exciting is that I was talking to Sleigh Bell, a performer who's in the process of making a music video with her all-girl singing group. Anyway, we were talking about one thing and another, and she told me she's been on a few television shows, mainly soap operas. I asked her if she's ever done One Life to Live, and she said yes. She had a bit part a few years ago when Tina and Cord married and traveled to Madrid for their honeymoon. Sleigh Bell played a flamenco dancer. Suddenly, I remembered Sleigh Bell perfectly. I remember Tina and Cord's honeymoon like it was yesterday. In that episode, she wore a red lace dress and stomped upon a shiny nightclub floor before Spain's greatest bullfighter entered, challenging Cord to a duel. Sleigh Bell intervened. She said, "Don't do it, senor. You'd be a fool to fight with Spain's greatest bullfighter." Anyway, we were talking when Carlton, another manager, got involved and said he's been on One Life to Live 7 times. He played Clint's lawyer 5 years ago when the entire Buchanan family was on trial for the murder of Mitch Lawrence. Carlton knows Victoria Buchanan personally and says she's just as sweet and caring in real life as she is on the show. He said she's basically playing herself except for the multiple personality disorder. Carlton says Clint tends to keep to himself, but that Beau and Asa are a lot of fun. I can't believe I'm hearing these things. I know people who have sat around with Tina, Cord, Beau, Asa, Clint, and Victoria! I'm honing in. I'm getting closer. I can feel it.
Jay Randall from David Sedaris' The Santa Land Diaries. as adapted by Joe Mantello. Well, adapted for the stage. Has he changed any of Sedaris's words?
I don't think he's changed any of the actual text, but it's definitely an adaptation. If you read it when it's published in Holidays on Ice, there's a lot that. Actually, my mom came to see it last year and said, "You didn't do the part about the UPS uniform," because I guess he talks about working for UPS. It's a definite adaptation.
So how I don't remember. Well, I'm sure that it doesn't take Sedaris an hour to read it when he does it on This American Life. What fills the time? Is it some of the music? Is it getting from here to there? Is it?
It's all of that. That's exactly right.
The projections happen on their own. Some of them.
And like John said, we have these set pieces that are these huge wooden presents, and I sort of move them around and create the different scenes and the slides and the music, all of it. I sort of move around and sometimes start in different places, and that sort of fills the time.
It's very much, you know, David Sedaris has that meter to a lot of the things that he says in those pauses, and that I feel like that's the one thing that you're kind of true to him about is those
his timing.
Sometimes awkward pauses.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I see. Yeah. Yes, it's one of those sort of things.
So here's the burning question. Can you do a Billie Holiday impression?
You know what? I can't. And when I was working on it, because he mentions in that first piece I did, he mentioned Cher, and I do mildly okay, actually really bad impression of Cher. So I changed that Billie Holiday to Cher, because Sedaris does an excellent Billie Holiday, which is obviously
that's why I asked.
Right.
Those who don't know, if you've ever heard it, you'd think you were hearing Billie
Holiday. That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. He's so good at it. So I thought that would be a disaster if I tried to mimic that. So I just, instead of saying the line is, I sang it as Billie Holiday would have sung it. Had she put out a Christmas album, I just say I sang it as Cher would have sung it. And then I sing Away in a Manger.
It's like fantastic.
You're not going to do it for us, are you?
No, I'm sorry. You have to come to the show.
That and the cheer are my two favorite
things. The cheer,
things.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, too. He talks about the managers giving them motivational speeches or cheers.
The Walmart cheers that they do at the meetings.
I can only imagine, So, well, we all need cheers in our place of employment in order to get through the Christmas season, right? Well, to get you through your Christmas season, how could you do it without going to see the Santaland Diaries? It's going to be at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan this weekend, tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And for more information on those shows, it's thelittletheater.org. You can go see Jay do this piece in Urbana next Tuesday at the Canopy Club on the University of Illinois campus, 7:45 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. At the Canopy, you have to be 18 or over to enter, but the Little Theater does make a point of saying this is not recommended for young audiences. The pieces you've heard don't really indicate that, but there are some bits that they don't advise. That website is canopyclub.com. You can see all their other shows as well. Or next weekend, Friday through Sunday, it'll be at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield. And that website is hcfta.org, hoaglandcenterforthearts.org, hcfta.org. And you can see their shows as well. Jay Randall stars as David Sedaris, as Crumpet, the Christmas elf in the Santaland Diaries, and John Stevens, the executive director at the Little Theater. Thank you both very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Here are some of the other events you can go see and hear live in our listening area the next couple of days. The Station Theater in Urbana is opening an adaptation of Willa Cather's novel, My Antonia, tonight at 8 o'clock. It runs through Sunday and for the next weekend, if not two. Adam Walton is giving a guest marimba recital at Illinois State University tonight. I'm looking at Thursday. That was last night. Let's regroup. Well, My Antonia is still at the Station Theater tonight at 8 o'clock. The Illinois Chamber Orchestra is giving its candlelight concert at St. Agnes Church in Springfield tonight at 7:30 or tomorrow night at 7:30 at Second Presbyterian Church in Bloomington. Dan Hubbard is at the Myrna Tap tonight at 8 o'clock. It's the best Christmas pageant ever at put on by the Springfield Theater Center at the Hoagland Center in Springfield tonight and tomorrow at 8, Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. Music for the Holidays concert is at Illinois State University at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts tonight at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow as well, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. The Champaign-Urbana Ballet puts on the Nutcracker at the Krannert Center in Urbana with Sinfonia da Camera in the orchestra pit tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. And then Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, the matinees are sold out, so I won't mention those times. At Southside Cindy and the Sliptones at the Rhythm Kitchen Cafe in Peoria tonight at 8 o'clock. Kevin Hart and the Vibe Tribe play jazz at Swinger's Grill in Normal. That's tonight at 8 o'clock. The handbell ensemble Bells in Motion is giving two concerts this weekend. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at First Congregational Church in Springfield, and then Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock at First United Methodist Church in Pena. It's Millikan University's annual Vespers, some beautiful, beautiful choral singing at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur, Saturday at 3 and 7 o'clock, and Sunday at those same two times. And Malawi is an interesting jazz and cultural program, and there's some food involved at the Independent Media Center in Urbana tomorrow night at 7:30. More information than I can tell you about, go check out the IMC website, which I think is ucimc.org. There are so many other things going on. Check out your local listings and go see something this weekend. You're listening to 90.9 WYLFM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and more for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. We also have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the series collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com.